When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich lad.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I am your host, Isabel Hauser, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. Slowly, the sultry summer days are fading into golden autumn. Just a few days ago, I had to wrap up in a shawl as I left for work in the morning, and soon, the late nights spent on my balcony in the last glow of daylight, even at 11 p.m., will exist but in my memory. It was one of those crisp, clear days that I went for a walk in the nearby forest. The leaves on the ground were crunching beneath my feet, the leaves on the trees already changing color, deep red, bright orange, joyful yellow. It was quiet, save for a humming that came from somewhere above my head in the foliage. I stopped to look around, but saw nothing except sunlight filtering through the trees, dappling the ground before me with gold. The humming continued. It definitely wasn't a bird. Well, there must be someone else walking nearby, I thought, and I was just about to continue on my path when I heard a gasp and something hard hit my head. Ouch! I cried, my hand flying to the spot where the impact had happened, shocked to find it wet. When I looked at my hand, it wasn't blood. It was paint. Yellow paint. And there on the ground was a tiny egg-sized bucket. I looked up. Hello? I called, craning my neck to see into the crown of the tree. I heard a rustling. The humming had stopped. And then, peeking shyly from behind the trunk of the tree, I saw the worried face of a tiny elf. The first teller for this episode is Cindy Rivka Marshall, an award-winning performing artist, facilitator and consultant who has been telling stories for over 30 years. She tells multicultural and Jewish stories with universal lessons that resonate with her sense of wonder. And this is her telling the story of Monkey and Crocodile.
Long ago, a lot of monkeys lived in the trees along the banks of a river. They would swing from branch to branch, eating the fruit that grew on the trees. One little monkey, who was known as Mandy the monkey, loved to eat mangoes. It seemed like she could never get her fill. She ate
mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch, fruit that is so tasty to munch and munch and munch. Mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch, fruit that is so tasty to munch and munch and munch.
Mandy the monkey would look out across the water. It was such a wide river with an island in the middle. She could see that there were mango trees on that island and no monkeys. Oh, if only she could get to that island, she would have plenty of
mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch, fruit that is so tasty to munch and munch and munch. Mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch, fruit that is so tasty to munch and munch and munch.
But of course, monkeys cannot swim. so all she could do was gaze longingly at those mango trees. Now, in that river, there were crocodiles. There was a very large crocodile who was known as Big Croc. He liked to boss all the other crocodiles around. Now, a young crocodile who was called Buddy was swimming by one day when Big Croc said, "Come here, I have a job for you. Today is my birthday, and I would like a special birthday dinner. I want to eat the heart of a monkey, and I want you to get it for me."
"Well, I don't know how I could get the heart of a monkey," said little Buddy.
Big Croc said, "If you don't get the heart of a monkey for my birthday dinner, I will see to it that you are not allowed to live in these parts any longer." Buddy, the little crocodile, swam away. This was the only home he knew. He didn't want to leave there. So he swam up and down the river trying to think of a way to get the heart of a monkey. He happened to look up and see Mandy the monkey hanging from a branch, looking out across the river, and it gave him an idea. He swam up near to the tree, and he called up to the monkey.
"How would you like a ride on my back? I could bring you out to that island where there's lots of mangoes."
Mandy the monkey thought this was the answer to her dreams, so without stopping to think for a minute, she scampered down the tree and jumped onto Buddy's back, and off they went. Mandy was thinking to herself, "Oh, I'm going to have
mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch, fruit that is so tasty to munch and munch and munch. Mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch. Fruit that is so tasty to munch and munch and munch."
But a little ways out into the river, suddenly Buddy took a dive into the water. Mandy the monkey came up spluttering.
"What are you doing? Don't you know I don't know how to swim?" "Oh, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I'm going to have to drown you and take your heart, because Big Croc wants a monkey heart for his birthday dinner."
Mandy the monkey stopped.
"Wait, you mean you want my heart? You should have told me you wanted my heart. I would have brought it with me. But you see, I left it back in my tree."
"Oh," said Buddy.
"You did? Oh, well, I'll turn around and swim you back so you can get it, okay?"
"Yeah," said Mandy the monkey. "That would be a good idea." And so Buddy turned around and swam the monkey back to the shore. And when she got there, she jumped off the crocodile's back and scampered back quickly to a high branch and called down to that crocodile,
"You think you're going to get my heart? It's right here inside me."
But then Mandy listened as Buddy the crocodile started to cry.
"Oh, Big Croc threatened to make me leave this part of the river if I don't get a monkey heart for Big Croc's birthday dinner. I don't know what I'm going to do."
And even though Buddy had tried to harm Mandy the monkey, well, she felt sorry for him. So she said,
"Just a minute. I'm going to throw down some mangoes. Are you ready?"
And Mandy threw some of the fruit down on the rocks below. They splattered there, and she climbed down and took some of that mushy fruit and put it on Buddy's snout.
"Just go and tell Big Croc that that's the heart of a monkey. I bet he never really tasted one. He won't know the difference."
So Buddy swam off and presented that mushed-up mango to Big Croc. And Big Croc ate it.
"Ah, that was delicious."
Buddy went back to thank Mandy the monkey.
Oh, your plan worked. Listen, I'm really sorry I tried to hurt you before. I'll swim you out to the island, and this time I'll take good care of you. I won't let you fall in the water. Mandy the monkey could see that Buddy was sincere, so she climbed down, and they traveled across the water safely. Out on that island, Mandy was able to eat her fill of
mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch, fruit that is so tasty to munch and munch and munch. Mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch, fruit that is so tasty to munch and munch and munch.
The fairy tale sponsor for this episode is Goldie's Just Right Interior Decorating. Are you ready to turn your humble abode into a dazzling dwelling? At Goldie's Just Right Interior Decorating, you'll find trinkets and treasures from all the realms to make all your interior design dreams come true. From decorative spinning wheels, thorn-free vines of roses, to splendid mirrors and magical lamps, you'll find everything that will give your home that spark of magic you always wanted. Our three consultants are happy to advise you on what products best match your style. We can't wait to make your interior dreams a reality. Goldie's Just Right Interior Decorating. We will get it just right, just for you. 5 stars from A Book via Apple Podcasts. Fantastic! We were already fairy story lovers, but your podcast makes it so much better. We listen in the car and before bed. The kids love hearing about characters they are familiar with and love the new ones too. Thank you for all your efforts putting out this wonderful podcast. Well, thank you so much for your review. We do a happy dance whenever we hear that someone enjoys the podcast, and we hope that all the characters in the stories, new and old, will continue to bring a sparkle to your days. If you, dear listener, would like to show your support of the podcast, we'd love to hear your review on Apple Podcasts. Not only will it bring a smile to our faces, it also helps other story lovers discover the delight of traditional storytelling. And if you'd like to become a closer member of the podcast community, you can, for as little as $4 a month on Patreon. Many delightful goodies are waiting for you, and we will also tell you about your very own magical properties. Head on over to storystorypodcast.com to find out more. The elf was the size of a well-fed squirrel, its amber eyes blinking wildly with worry. In its hand, it held a paintbrush no larger than a toothpick. "I'm sorry," it said feebly. My pain was instantly forgotten. "Who are you?" I asked. It smiled shyly. "I am an autumn elf," it replied, squared its shoulders proudly and so abruptly that it lost its balance and almost fell off the branch it was teetering on. I chuckled as it regained its balance with flailing arms, then hugged the trunk of the tree and carefully sat down on the branch to lean against it. "An autumn elf?" I asked. "What's that?" Again, the elf smiled proudly. "We bring autumn to the land," it said. "My companions and I paint the leaves of the trees deep red, bright orange, joyful yellow." Well, that would explain the paint on my head and the egg-sized bucket. "And our friends weave the morning mist and drape it over the fields and tips of the trees in the wee hours of morning." I was intrigued. "That is so interesting," I said. "Is there anything else you and your friends do?" The elf gave a little chuckle. "Of course! The elders stud the spider webs and autumn flowers with the diamond drops of morning dew,
and the little ones help the animals gather food and soft things for their winter dwellings. There is so much we do. And speaking of, what am I doing here talking to you? I have so many leaves to paint. Quick as a squirrel, it climbed down the tree trunk, picked up the tiny bucket, and scrambled back up. And just as it was about to disappear in the crown of the tree, I had a thought. Wait, I called. The elf turned round. If there are autumn elves, I asked, are there also winter elves who dust the land with snow? And spring elves who paint the blossoms of the flowers? And summer elves who hang the bushes with sweet berries? The elf laughed, as if I had just asked if a raw egg cracks when you drop it to the ground. Of course, it said. And with that, it was gone. As I walked on, I could hear the humming again, but I never saw another elf again. But just because we can't see something doesn't mean that it isn't there. The second teller for this episode is Californian storyteller Catherine Fairley. Catherine sadly passed away in October 2019 and is dearly missed by the storytelling community. She told stories for over 35 years, fusing together culture, dynamic characters, and folk to create a change. Lucky for us, she left us a legacy of wonderful recordings, such as the story of the Monkey Brothers from her CD about the Maya.
When twin boys were born to Blood Woman, they were called Hunapu and Shibalanke, that is, Hunter and Jaguar. Grandmama growled, "Get them out of here, they make too much noise." They were noisy, as most children are, so Grandmama Shmukane decided to send them out to live on an anthill. Those two got no love from their grandmama, nor from their older half-brothers, one monkey and one artisan. Blood Woman prepared meals for all four boys, but the two older brothers ate it all, and only left scraps for their younger brothers. Hunapu and Shibalanke were not even allowed in the house, but they grew up strong in the cloud forest and became great hunters with their blowguns and darts. All day long, one monkey and one artisan played music and sang and made beautiful artwork. They really were gifted geniuses, but they were also selfish. Hunapu and Shibalanke shot birds and rabbits with their blowguns and brought them home every day. And one monkey and one artisan ate them all and left almost nothing for the hunters. So Hunapu and Shibalanke came up with a plan to solve their problem. One day the twins came home with no game. Grandmama Shmukane got angry. "Why are you here without food for us?" "We shot many birds, dear Grandmama, but they were caught in the tree. We need our older brothers to climb up and bring them down." The twins led their brothers to a tall tree and started shooting at the birds with their blowguns. The boys were excellent hunters, but no birds fell down. The older brothers were surprised. Hunapu pointed, "They stick to the branches. Just climb up and throw them down." The elder brothers clambered up into the branches, and Shibalanke and Hunapu took out their flutes and played a delightful tune. "Wind your tails around now and give the dance of Hunapu monkey. Leap and swing from tree to tree. Chatter happily. Look down and grin at me." With each note, the tree shot up taller and taller. One monkey and one artisan called down, "The tree is trapping us. Help!" Shibalanke called up, "Untie your waistcloths and leave the end hanging down from the back. You can tie it to a branch and swing on down." As soon as the brothers did this, the hanging cloths became real tails, and these new monkeys swung away, howling in embarrassment. When Hunapu and Shibalanke returned, they told their grandmama, "Our brothers are behaving like animals. They are shameless." Grandmama Shmukane worried, "Please do not harm your elder brothers." "Do not worry, dear grandmama. We will call them, and you will see their faces again. But you must not laugh." Hunapu and Shibalanke took up their flutes and sang that lively Hunapu monkey tune again. That tune is still heard to this day. "Wind your tails around now and give the dance of Hunapu monkey. Leap and swing from tree to tree, chatter happily, look down and grin at me." The monkey brothers came back, dancing to the lively music. When Grandmama Shmukane saw their monkey faces, she could not help laughing. And they disappeared back into the jungle. "Please hold back your laughter, dear Grandmama. We can only call them back 3 times. Again, they played the tune Hunapu Monkey. "Wind your tails around now." The two monkeys came dancing with their tails curled up under their chins and wiggling in all their nakedness. They were hysterically silly, and Grandmama doubled with laughter. Sending the new monkeys howling back towards the jungle. "Why do you laugh like that, dear Grandmama? We only have 1 more chance. Again, the twins played the flute. "Wind your tails around now." Grandmama contained her laughter when she first saw them. They jumped on the roof and peeked down at her. When she saw the thin red lips puckering while they scratched themselves, she burst out laughing again. And they scrambled out of sight. One monkey and one artisan did not return. Now their home was the jungle. "Do not be sad, Grandmama. We shall take the place of our elder brothers, and we promise they will be remembered." And it is still so today that artists and musicians pray to the monkey brothers and remember them for their artistic skills. But because of their cruelty, they were brought low. It was their younger brothers, the 2 sons of Blood Woman, who are far better remembered as the Hero Twins.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story podcast. Show the love and find Cindy Rivko Marshall at cindymarshall.com. Tell her you heard her on the podcast and now want to hear her tell more stories. We are in strange times for performing artists, but art is needed now more than ever. So many storytellers are doing online events, so you, yes, you, can hear and see some of your favorite storytellers of the podcast tell stories from the comfort of your home. These may be different times, but the opportunities to connect with the magic of live storytelling are abundant. Go find your favorite tellers from the podcast and discover what they can bring to your own home. You can connect with the podcast on Facebook or Instagram at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann at Rachel Ann Harding. And you can find me at isabelhauser.com. On the podcast social media, you can see the delightful visuals for the fairy tale sponsors that you can hear on the podcast. And while you are there, let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you will hear them here soon. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor was Anne Rie. The music is by Poddington Bear, and the inspiration for the true fairy tale was a story I wrote in high school about 15 years ago. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. Consider becoming a patron, joining the mailing list to get the podcast goodies, or writing a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the podcast. You will hear more stories next week, but until then, live happily ever after.
Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there, on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal palace.